guess we'll just kind of carry over a little bit.
Is someone coming behind us?
No.
No.
There you go, Phil.
Great. So we'll go ahead and get started with Phil Scholes, and sorry, a little bit off on that. We were a little off on our timing here. This is the start of 11 o'clock.
Okay. Let me start off by saying that National Society of Consulting Soil Scientists is composed of primarily owners of consulting businesses that practice soil science. And so we've gone through lots and lots of evolution of having employees, not having employees, having a few, having many. And there's a lot of things we've learned over the years that we want to sort of pass on to others. And it seems particularly appropriate in this particular economic condition to want to know if people are hiring, if they're being fired, and how do they survive, because the consulting world is not the same as the academic world or the consulting world, or I'm sorry, the government world. My background, and I've got two other colleagues here that are going to sort of help out here, is I've got a bachelor's degree. I've been doing this work for 25 years, 22 years as a consultant. Do a lot of work with groundwater cleanup, wetland delineation, endangered species. Work mostly in Western Oregon and Washington. I work a lot with private parties, municipalities, and I do some teaching with groups like the Wetland Training Institute. I have anywhere between 2 to 6 employees, depending on either the time of year or things. My junior employees are usually there for about their 2 to 3 years. My more senior people are 5 to 10 years at my consulting firm. And my best career moment was when I authored a bill for the Oregon legislature, and it got signed into law in 2003. I learned a lot, not about consulting and not anything about soil science, but I learned about the political process, and that was very valuable. Pierre, who's been here, is got a bachelor's also in soil scientist. He's been doing work for 26 years as a consultant. He also does soil erosion, wetland delineation, and he works throughout the West, all the states, and he works for similar groups of folks. In addition to that, he's got the railroads, he's got 5 employees, and he's got sort of a similar kind of mixture on his junior and senior employees of how long they are there. And his best career moment was essentially negotiating an MOU between a major corporation, which was a railroad, and the Corps of Engineers, which had never been done before. And Don Owens is someone here that's introduced momentarily that has got a BS and an MS. He's been a soil scientist for 47 years, 30 plus years as a business owner. And he does a lot of the same thing Pierre and I have done, working mostly in New York and Pennsylvania and Ohio. He's got 14 employees. Half of his business does drilling-related type of work, investigation, and the other half, wetlands. And his employees have been around for, 5 years for his junior people and 5 to 10. Sort of tells you that he's got a little more stability. And then he's done his best moment was investigating some settling of subsidence in the town of Amherst. So let me jump on here into what we're all about here. Credentials. It is essential for someone to have a bachelor's degree in this world. A master's degree is important, but it's not absolutely critical. And a PhD, it's one where it is very important for some jobs, not so important for other jobs. And in some cases, it might never be realized by a particular consulting firm. Bottom line is, though, 2 degrees is going to be better than 1, and 3 sometimes is better than 2. But beyond that, really, having a highly focused professional experience can be better than having either a master's or a PhD. Said differently, you don't need those advanced degrees in order to succeed in consulting. For those that are out there looking around for their resume, shopping with their resumes, first of all, from a business owner's perspective, we expect a resume to be an accurate assessment of their skills, their education, and their interests. We will spend 15 seconds looking at a resume, scanning it for the information for what candidate sort of qualifications we're looking for. If we don't see it in 15 seconds, then we're done. If we do see something we like, in the next 30 seconds, we'll spend actually reading it. And at that point, if it's still worth going on, we'll actually put them up for an interview. If it takes us longer than 30 seconds to read that resume, then it tells us that they better have some great skills in order to hire them, because their communication skills had at that point already failed if it takes more than 30 seconds to read a resume. And then lastly, you know, it's really important to put things on resumes that will make sure that you are remembered later on. Lots of candidates have all the same qualifications, but if you put something on there, whether it's some unique skills or whether it's that you've done some travel somewhere, you want to be remembered. There is sometimes some confusion what the different kinds of positions are out there. In consulting, if it's an entry-level position, it's a probationary position. That means that you know that some it's going to be a position where we're testing to find out whether they're worth keeping. You better make sure that your resume is the same as your performance during that probationary period, or expect them to say later on, we're not going to tolerate somebody that essentially comes in with a resume saying they can do something and then in fact they can't do it. A mid-level position is something that is going to require anywhere between 3 and 5 years of experience, and that's in the line of work that the consultants are doing. So in other words, if you've got 10 years of work doing agricultural consulting and you're going to go into consulting dealing with stormwater, that's not the same 10 years of experience. A project manager is a very common position you hear out there, and that's what we think of as being a mid-level position. A senior one is going to be, you know, one that has 5 years or more in that specific type of job type of classification, either at another company or another kind of employer. After we have interviews with a particular candidate, one of the things that's absolutely mandatory is either an email or a phone call as a follow-up, but making a letter is even better. If you can reiterate the various kinds of skills that you have, that's really important, and what you like most about the company. Within a week, whether you're solicited or not, you should be sending whoever interviewed you something that is an example of your communication and writing skills. If you don't have a report or something, then send something that shows that you read some of their reports and provide some comments on it. Let them see that you can communicate. And, you know, after an interview happens, you're often waiting weeks and weeks, you know, what should happen? Well, how do you know when to contact them and so on? You're bugging them if you feel you're begging them for a response. And if you show initiative, then you're providing some kind of insight. So that's sort of a way to look at that. At a first job, if it's entry level, you are starting at the bottom regardless of how old you might be. In the consulting world, employers are going to reserve the right to dismiss somebody in the first 3 to 6 months with or without cause. That's usually allowed by law, and it's one of those things where they are using that entry-level position to find out who is worth putting an investment into. The reason people get mostly dismissed in that first 3 months is that they have an unlikable personality, they're unqualified, they got poor performance, they're a complainer, or all of them. But that entry-level position, it's a pass-fail. You know, you're either going to make it or you're going to be let go. And I'm talking again about how it is in consulting, and it's a little rougher waters there than maybe in some other places. We expect a new employee to last 18 to 24 months before they should be promoted to a better position. We're happy to promote people if they're doing that sooner, but that's if you're in the same position after 24 months, then probably things are not looking too good in the long term, because you're not moving fast enough for them. We expect, you know, especially if you work in larger cities, that about 50% of your entry-level employees, you know, within the first 2 years, they're going to move on somewhere else. They're going to find out that either the company is not what they expected to be, or that they just want, you know, maybe something a little bit different. But we expect a fair amount of turnover in those entry-level positions. Performance determines what their pay raise, not whether you come to work and show up every day. One thing we have to remember about those first jobs is it might be your first job, but it's the same old entry-level position that's been around at the company for years and years, and lots of people have moved on from it and or been fired from it. So it's not such a special job that some people like to think is their first job. It's important for people to really get on track with a consulting company. You want to have a track record that's got a tangible performance. You want to build a library of your own reports and textbooks and so on. You want to have ideas and tasks that you bring to every meeting that you go to. You want to develop a niche or a specialization within that firm in ways that can help them save money or produce more, things like that. You want to be very calculating and calculate and not be calculated, which means that you're really going to show how you use your brain power on the job, but you want to do it in a way not to sort of intimidate others. If you can accomplish something via an email or a memo, that's going to be a lot better than having convene a meeting to discuss it. That's called efficiency in the consulting world. You want to always outline your strategies and your options and contingencies and make sure that those get produced or sent to the people higher up in the ladder. Performance reviews, and I know I'm going through these fast, you have to keep in mind that no two companies do it the same way. If you aren't getting one once a year, then you should be asking for it, but it doesn't have to be something really formal. It can be a lunch with your supervisor. You do want to figure out what is your supervisor's style if you want to survive. Are they people that tend to sort of accumulate their opinion for 6 months and then just sort of let it out on you, or are they somebody that tells you on the spot? Get to know what their style is. Most employees are thinking that their performance reviews are about justifying their pay raise. Most employers think performance reviews are about improving the work product and leadership and billable hours. And again, performance determines the pay raise. And not conformity. How much more time? Oh, okay, good. Last thing here is an employee that blames others for a negative performance review needs to find another job. The bottom line is an employer's attitude about the performance review is this is their opportunity to help review the performance of the individual. And if that employee comes away thinking that, you know, it's everyone else's fault, That really means that they didn't understand the performance review and realize that, you know, that performance review is about that person, not about other people in the office. And so the consulting field doesn't feel it's their job to help fix people that are sort of broken as employees that have problems. Their attitude is, you know, there's enough other really good people out there to hire, and we're not going to waste our time trying to fix people that have issues with their personalities and so on. So this means that, you know, what you want to do is inventory your weaknesses and establish some protocols so that you can make sure that you don't fall in your own trap that you set for yourself based on your own personality flaws, and everyone's got them. You want to essentially, you know, list out what are going to be your successes and the patterns that make them happen. What's that work environment? Are you a morning person? Then get to work early, get lots of stuff done. If you're really, I have a person in my office, you know, he hardly will speak a word before 9 o'clock because he knows he's grumpy. But that's a pretty good strategy, you know, not to get into a discussion before 9 o'clock with that person. You know, it's okay to avoid people that annoy you, but you just don't want to ignore them. You want to pace yourself. You don't want to burn yourself out, but you also don't want to go so slow that you're actually one of the laggards. You should get in the habit of not relying upon others, essentially, to appreciate what you've accomplished. You'll find that the companies and so on are very appreciative of your work. They're just not really going to make that recognition until sometime weeks, months, or years down the road. For fitting in at consulting firms, every firm's going to have a different identity, a different way of doing things, so you want to find out about that hopefully before you start on there. In that first 6 months, you want to essentially really get to learn what makes the middle managers and the senior level people tick. That doesn't mean you want to copy them. It just simply means, you know, what is their personality traits? What are their management styles? Because, you know, if you want them to review your work, you want to fit into how they do things, because that they've been around longer and they want you to do it in that kind of pattern. Record all your billable hours. This is the way that money is made in the consulting field, and you want to essentially see and track your own progress with billable hours. if at the end of 12 months you're not 70 to 90% billable, which means that only 10% of your time doesn't somehow get charged to a client, then you're probably going below par. And don't expect that a raise comes just simply because you met your billable percentage. That's the expectation for everybody in the firm, not just an individual usually. And after 12 months, you know, you always need to essentially, you know, assess where you are and your professional goals and talk it over with the supervisor. It's really important to determine when you need to stay or move on. Because if you aren't really thinking about when is the next horizon at another company, then someone else is probably going to make that decision for you. Last couple of things here real quickly is be careful of office politics. If you get regular doses of office politics, they're going to fry your nerves, they're going to raise your blood pressure, and they're going to eventually get you out the door. So that means stay away from the blabbermouths. Literally walk the other way. During the workday, keep the sort of the chit-chat down to about 5 minutes or less, and know when the topic is getting negative and get out of that discussion. And just remember the basic golden rule. You know, it's very valuable. You know, last couple of things here. Do I have time?
Yeah. All right. A couple of questions here.
Okay. You want, in terms of how you relate to your boss, acknowledge and respect them for what they've already accomplished. They may be there for years and years before you, or they may have been years and years at another company. You may not be aware of it, but they may have accomplished an awful lot. A really good boss is going to be one that's not really going to tell you they're having a bad day. But most of them, just like anyone else at the office, is going to wear it on their sleeves. So you have to expect them not to be Superman all the time. Anticipate what they want before they ask of it. I mean, that's the smartest thing you can do with any kind of supervisor. Be honest about your mistakes and be willing to fix any kind of fallout from any mistakes you made. Find reasons to thank your supervisor, and don't make them your sounding board where all your complaints go. They get enough complaints from other people that pick and choose when you do that. The job pressures, everyone has them. The bosses don't want to force assignments on people. They want people to volunteer for them. And I always encourage people, you volunteer early, because the ones that are going to be the last tasks to assign are going to be the yuckiest tasks out there. Everyone's got family, significant others, and so on. And we sort of think of them as being a silent partner to any employee. But they're not directly involved in what happens at the office. And as employers go, we really don't want to hear about them as excuses. That doesn't mean we can't deal with it. It just means that, be professional. If you're going to be late because you got a sick kid and you got to take him to the doctor, call ahead and be. But just don't show up and say, well, I was late because, et cetera. Take at least a day off, including when you have holidays, make sure that you're taking a day off every 3 to 4 weeks. Bottom line is, the communication is the bottom line in how to survive in the consulting field. Performance is everything. That's the way that they are going to evaluate what you do. When you make promises, as far as consultants are concerned, there's no value to a promise. It's all about performance. You want to network with as many people as you can, and you want to be predictable, and you want to be honest, and you definitely want to be accountable. That's it.
So I have a few questions here while Don gets set up here. I want to add one thing. Don, why don't you come on up? I want to add one thing, and you'll see it in my next presentation, is one of the things that I always say about employees is the employee is not a job position. That's not a title. That's not an occupation. Employee is just what you are, and you need to actually do something. Showing up and being there isn't good enough. It's actually being able to produce and produce something for your employer. So, any other questions?
Any questions?
I'll let Don go ahead and get started.
Okay.
Get his done. I'll give you 5 minutes. Give you a little 5 minutes.